Anna Madeley has had a storming year. We are now at the end of 2005, and already this year she has starred at Soho in Colder Than Here in two consecutive plays in the middle of the year at the Donmar, and now she is playing two separate parts, both of them leads, in Corum Boy at the National. Sounds like there's a speedboat in the background now. Anna Madeley, welcome to Theatre Voice.
Thank you very much.
First of all, I think everyone will be interested to hear about how Corum Boy has gone and about the play itself.
It's going fantastically. It's been a long time coming. Melly's probably been working on it for a good year or so. I started workshopping on it in June, just after I'd finished Cosmonaut's Last Message at the Donmar. And there were some more workshops in September, and then we had a seven-week rehearsal process and then long tech, and now it's finally up and running, and it's gone down really well. So everybody's very happy with it, and we're having a great time. Audiences are really enjoying it, and they're a lovely mixture of audience as well, because it's the book is aimed at teenage age group, and I think the recommendation here is 12 up, but people are bringing children younger to it as well, so it was spanning a great age range in the people that are coming to see it, and everyone seems to be enjoying it, so really good at the moment.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about the plot?
The plot centres in the first half. You meet two boys. You meet Alexander, who's a child of a very rich family, landed gentry. They own an enormous estate in Gloucestershire, and his great passion is music, and he wants to go off and be a musician, but of course as the heir to this estate, it's not possible as far as his parents are concerned. And then you meet a boy called Meshach, whose father is a peddler, who moves on in the world by trading in children. And Meshach is sort of the poor, neglected child, really, who has nothing and is asked to do horrific things by his father in order to help with his trade. And he develops a passion for the angels in the cathedral. So you sort of follow these two boys on their journey, and they both, for their own reasons, run away from home and pursue their own futures. And then, so in the second half, you meet some boys, Aaron and Toby, who are two other little kids who are going to go on their journeys. They're a bit younger. They're both in the Corum Hospital, so they're both, as far as they know, orphans. Toby's black and is probably the child of a slave found at the dock somewhere. Aaron turns up years before with Meshach, who's found him along the way, and he's just been brought up in the Corum Hospital since then. And they then both go off to pursue their things. Aaron gets apprenticed off to a musician, Toby gets taken off as a liveried servant, and it's all set in this world where Handel's composing. There's much trade going on in children. There's a really dark underworld to it. Meshach's father literally takes money off people, saying that he's going to take their children to the Corum Hospital in London, and then kills off their children, buries them in the woods, which is one of the horrible things Meshach has to partake in against his will. So you're really seeing the lives of some children at that time. You're talking mid-1700s. Although it's a real swashbuckler, it's a thriller. You go on not knowing where it's going to go, and it's steeped in a history and a side of our culture at that time that we probably don't want to look at too closely, really. So it's quite a thrilling tale of that time, and there's a lot of romance, a lot of violence, a lot of all sorts thrown in as well. So there's something to please everyone.
That's a tremendous advert for the show, which I can say is absolutely.
I'm trying to put it in words, and it's quite hard to condense it down because it's quite an epic piece in a way.
I certainly thought it was an amazing piece. One of the amazing things about it was that Alexander, the 15-year-old in the first half, and Aaron, the 8-year-old in the second half, are both played by the same person. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was great fun. Well, Alexander is actually the father of Aaron. So, having been offered the opportunity to play them both, which was fantastic, it's great fun to look at family traits and see, Alexander's brought up in a very posh, privileged way, and he's well dressed and has, to all intents and purposes, a lovely lifestyle. And then to play his son, who's not got much, but it's just a happy-go-lucky soul. It's nice to, although they both have their passion for music, they're otherwise very different characters, so it's great fun to have two extremes to play with. And also playing kids is great fun. A bit of rough and tumble. which is a good laugh.
But playing boys as well, was that... Presumably that's not something you've done before, but was that difficult?
No, I've not... Well, I had to do it once at drama school, in Life of Galileo, but not since then. I thought it would be, actually, but we had... During the workshops, we had lots of kids come in and hang out with us for the day and just play football, and we just took the opportunity to observe them and see what they were like, what sort of jokes they liked, what they were into, you know, what were their views on girls when they were 8, what were their views on girls when they were 15, you know, sort of really plot the changes and the differences and all those things. And Melly, who directed it, is also works with in movement as well, so she was great in spotting when things were getting girly. She's great at giving you the freedom to play, and she sort of worked from that point, play, do everything, and then we'll hone it into get specific as to what really works as a group of boys playing together. And so it wasn't... It doesn't seem difficult now, but I'm on the other end of it, so maybe... it just felt like great fun to be playing with it, because it is a real physical experiment with what are the differences between girls and boys. Which aren't so great, I suppose, when they're 8 as when they're 15. It's quite funny being a boy with a crush on a girl. 15 when you're a girl playing a boy. Gets complicated. But
I think Shakespeare probably went there at one point.
Yeah, a few times.
The other thing that certainly was surprising to me, and probably surprising to a lot of other people in the audience, was to find that not only can you act, but you also have a beautiful singing voice.
Oh, thank you. Singing something I did quite a lot of as a teenager, and I loved it. And I was very lucky at my school. We had a great music department, so we had a good choir there and a chamber choir, and we did concerts every term. And I also used to sing with the choir in my holidays, which was one of my hobbies. Then, sort of later teens, drama school, I didn't really do any more singing. But then it came up in conversation, I've been doing it, and that sort of opened up being thought of for this job. And then I had a voice test with Melly and Derek Barnes, who has done all the vocal training for singing on this, and he thought I was up to it, so I've had some lessons with him prior to starting rehearsals, and then we've just gone on from there. And it's been an amazing journey, actually, because you realise how singing every day, you really feel your voice getting stronger, and I'm really enjoying it. When I first thought of it, I was like, oh my god, it's going to be absolutely terrifying. And so during rehearsals, I kept trying to picture what the audience would be like out there. And my friend Abby Ford kept saying to me, it'll be fine, don't worry, because once you're acting, it's in the context of acting, it's not you really standing there singing.
Abby Ford is another actress who plays and sings alongside you.
Yeah, she plays the young Thomas in it, and so she has to do some singing as well, so... but actually once we were up and running, it was so quick. Our tech and previews were so... you didn't really have time to get worried about it. You just had to get on with it. And it's true that it is in the context of a story, and you're singing for a reason and because you love it as the character. So I've really learned to love it myself as well. I've really enjoyed doing it.
You've also somehow managed to conquer the notorious Olivier Theatre, which many people have failed in both speaking and probably singing.
It's a tough space. It's very dry in there. Everybody's found it really dry. We're all drinking gallons of water. And, it's quite hard work in there. I've not worked in a lot of very big theatres. I mean, especially this year, I've worked, you know, the Donmar Warehouse and at Soho, which are both quite intimate spaces. And I was aware of having to really up diction, particularly in the Olivier stage, and being very aware of being open to the audience all the time. It's not so easy to turn your back on them and carry on playing in there, so that's been a challenge with it as well. But also, what's fantastic about the Olivier is because it is such a big space, and this show is so epic and so theatrical, it's the perfect space for it, really, because you couldn't do, you know, enormous fight scenes and all room scenes and flying and underwater scenes, and you couldn't do that in a small way. I think it's really done justice to the book to give it that space and the weight that that theatre can.
Did you know the book before you got involved in the production?
No, I didn't know it at all. And I read it in a day before the workshop started. And I absolutely loved it. I think she's a brilliant writer. I think it's a beautifully written book that I think anyone would enjoy. I've enjoyed it as an adult, and obviously teenagers enjoying it. I think schools are promoting it for children to read, and yeah, it's just a brilliant story, beautifully written characters that are just really engaging. It's a time of life, you know, everyone, adults, been through their childhoods, and historically it's interesting, and it's, and I think it really has something for everyone in there.
Taking us away from that, I think it's interesting to look at your career because it's been so diverse. You've done bits of Shakespeare, bits of other plays from 300-400 years ago. You've done modern work. You've worked pretty much everywhere. You've worked at the Royal Court, at Soho, at the National, with the RSC, at the Donmar. I could probably continue, except that I'm going to get stuck. And there are other places as well. I'll get stuck though. How did you get into acting to start with?
I got into acting, my mum sent me to sort of speech lessons, I suppose, with a lady called Stella Greenfield, who turned out to be a child agent. My mum sent my sister and I along thinking she just wanted us to be confident about reading and talking in public, and thought it would be quite fun. And so we did like local drama festivals and things like that. And
what kind of age?
I was quite little when I started doing that. I was about 7 or 8, and you know, I did ballet one night of the week and went to these classes another night of the week, and you got your gold star if you read your poem well and all that sort of thing. I loved it. And because she was a child agent, she sent me up for a couple of things, and one of the first things I did was work at the RSC as a child in The Merry Wives of Windsor, because I was very skinny. I was cast as the skeleton who isn't written in part, but that's where I sort of caught the bug for it, really. It was just wandering on every night, being one of the kids that goes to scare Falstaff at Herne's Oak and eating chips and learning to play pool in the green room, which obviously it's more than that now, but then I thought that was wonderful. And I just loved it, and I carried on. I did a children's TV show called Dizzy Heights, and not a lot more while I was at school, because they weren't keen on it and my parents didn't want me to. And I was doing loads of other things, because I was big into dancing and all sorts. I was doing everything every night of the week, really. And then I did National Youth Music Theatre and National Youth Theatre. And then when sort of crunch time came in the sixth form of deciding what to do, the plan had been university, but then I kind of went, oh, I don't really want to go. And I saw an advert for Central in the Stage, and it was a BA course, and so I thought, oh, I can get a degree and go to drama school, which keeps everybody happy. And then was very lucky and got in. So it went from there, really.
Having come out at the other end, it seems, I thought actors are supposed to spend most of their time resting, as it were, but you don't seem to have managed too much resting.
Well, they're not supposed to. It's just the fate of it. I've been very, very fortunate. I've had a fantastic, the last few years actually have been fantastic. And
you spent a year and a half at the RSC. That must have been an interesting formative experience. Was it longer? I apologise.
No, it's quite all right. I did, well, it was about, I think the first season was about 18 months, and then the next one was a year. I did the Jacobean season, and I had a great time. That was a fantastic learning experience as well, because I was very lucky. I went in doing A Russian in the Woods, which was Peter Whelan's new play at the time, set in the 1950s, playing an East German, and I love working with accents as well, so that was lovely to work on in that job. And because I was fortunate enough to get a lead in that, it led to then Tony Sher and Greg had both seen me in that season, and when Sean Holm cast me for the Jacobeans, so that was great. To do a show for that long and keep it fresh and to learn how to do that was really interesting. And also to take it to different places, which was great fun. And lovely companies. You really get to know actors when you work with them for that long. You're practically living with each other in Stratford. So because I, you know, I'd stayed in London, so that was the first time I'd really lived outside of London away with other people. So So yeah, they have a good couple of years there.
Probably moving on a little bit, but just mentioning in passing, since we're sitting directly opposite a lovely collage photo of the hamlet. We're actually at the National overlooking the Thames, which is looking gorgeously lit up. It's fantastic. And we have Simon Russell Beale, amongst others, looking at us. You've acted with some tremendous people. You mentioned Anthony Sher. Simon Russell Beale you've acted with this year.
Yeah.
That's obviously a great opportunity for a young actress to work with top names.
Oh, it's been amazing. Tony was lovely. He was in my auditions for the Roman Actor, and it's just the weight of experience that those people have, and having the chance to play opposite them is just an amazing joy, really. And Simon this year was just lovely. He's a real sweetheart. And I think what's wonderful about it at the same time is that they are just actors, but they're also people that you admire and you've gone to see and you really respect, and so it's fascinating to watch them work. And at the same time, it makes you feel amazing. You just feel great that you're working with those people, and it does up your game. You do learn from them and experiment and play, and
I don't know what to say, really. No, but
and you've enjoyed doing the modern stuff and the older stuff, or have you got a particular preference? Because you've, as I say, you've just seemed to have done so much and so diverse the parts you played.
I think I like it like that. I wouldn't really pocket myself. I love classical theatre, but I also love working in modern things, and I love, you know, other mediums for acting as well. But I like that variety in the work. I think that's what feeds in, and I think also they do feed one another, looking at different times, different periods of history, different ways that people operated. But they're all people, they're all characters. And also it's interesting then if you set a Shakespeare play in modern times, or, you know, you can always play with those things. But I also loved doing things like I did a play Lady Bird at the Royal Court, yes, which was interesting then looking at, you know, Russian society, what's going on over there today, what are teenagers like, written by someone who's about my age, you know, what was he saying about his generation growing up out there, and I find that interesting. I think fundamentally it's that the people are interesting, and who are you representing on the stage, and what are you saying with them, and just opening that up to an audience and throwing it open to question and debate. And I think that's what's interesting. So I would never want to pocket myself in any one type or world. I think I'd like to always keep it open.
It sounds good to me. You also mentioned other media. You've done a little bit of film work. You've also done some TV work. I'm very bad on TV, but you were student nurse Samantha Beaumont in The Royal, which I gather will appeal to people.
Yeah, she was great fun. I did that. I did two seasons with them, filming up in Leeds in Scarborough. And
it was a great fun part. She was a bit of a flighty nurse. Wasn't really into the nursing, was more into sort of sussing out which doctors she could date while she was up there. And through it, her journey through it, really, she became, I suppose, more and more in tune with what nursing was actually about, and which is partly owed to Wendy Craig's character, the matron, kind of pulled her into line a bit, and so she matured a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit during it. And she was great fun to play, a fun, frivolous character.
And do you enjoy TV and film work, or you prefer the stage?
I do like them both. Again, it's the variety aspect of it that is just so appealing. And I've been very fortunate, you know, again, all the Royal Company were a really lovely bunch of people to work with, and, you know, coming from different backgrounds themselves in acting, and working with people like Wendy Craig, who, you know, amazing career. And so yeah, I just take each job on its own merit and see. I've been very lucky. I'd like to,
well, as probably every actress in the world would, just keep playing between them all. I love theatre, and I'd never want to not do theatre, but
obviously I would like to do more film work and keep seeing that. So, yeah.
In terms of the future, presumably the short to medium term is going to be doing Corum Boy. I certainly have this suspicion that it's not going to end when it's supposed to, early in the new year, and it will be funding the National probably through next year, and then who knows where it goes from there. What have you got lined up in your career? Do you know? I'm presuming it is Corum Boy for a bit, and then what about after that?
It is Corum Boy for a bit, and I don't know anything definite after that, so I can't really say. But as I say, hopefully pursue some film work next year, and then and some more theatre. If there's some coming, would be lovely. But no, it's a bit early to say.
You seem to have been amazingly successful so far. You've just kept it going. You've found job after job, and pretty much all good stuff. You haven't had too many duds, unless I haven't spotted them, or they don't make it into the programmes anymore.
Oh, I don't know. Don't look too hard. No, I don't know. No, I've been very, very lucky with jobs. No, I worked at Harrods for 4 days this year, which was fun in its own sweet way. No, I've been very lucky that I haven't had to do too much in between. I did a bit when I was first out of college. I did my turn ushering and all the rest of it. But no, it's been... Yeah, just been... you have to keep working in theatre because you're not paid brilliantly. But then when you are, you love it. So it's worth it. No, I did my 4 days at Harrods, and then I found out I got the philanthropist. So I was like, oh, bye-bye, Harrods. But
it's not bad.
Necessary evils in between, so...
It's not bad to go from the filling in shop work to a lead at the Donmar opposite a man that many regard as being our finest actor at the moment.
No, absolutely. Well, that's one of the joys of it. It only takes one job. You don't know what the future's going to hold. So you have to stay optimistic and keep working.
Well, Anna Madeley, I have little doubt that you will keep working. Thank you very much indeed. That's been absolutely fascinating.
Oh, lovely to speak to you. Thank you.